Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to America's Auto Enthusiast Program. This is Auto World. And now, here's your host, Bob Long.
Welcome, everybody, and thank you very much for joining me for another edition of Auto World. We've got an outstanding broadcast lined up for you. Number one, I want to apologize for sounding a little bit funky, a little bit under the weather, because I have been for the last week or so with a very nasty flu bug. So if anybody has any flu remedies, we will welcome your telephone calls at our 800 number or via the email as well, which is bob@autoworldradio.com. Let me tell you about what we're going to be doing here on today's broadcast. In this hour of the program, we're going to be joined by Gary Witzenberg. Gary's a very unusual gentleman. He's a gentleman who has kind of worked on both sides of the automotive fence. He's a noted automotive journalist writing for many different publications, but he's also had multiple stints within General Motors, both in the engineering and public relations departments. His wife has also worked in the General Motors family. So we're going to talk to Gary about what's been going on with GM, the bankruptcy filings, what holds for the future of the brands Hummer and Saab and Saturn, as they have all been now sold off. What's going to happen to the Pontiac nameplate as it goes away? We're also going to talk to Gary about a project that he was involved in many, many years ago. It's called the EV1. It was the first electric-powered vehicle. They only made a very limited supply of them, and then they crushed just about every single one except for a handful. I know one resides out at the Peterson Automotive Museum in Los Angeles. Hour number two of the program will bring you our regular features, including Jeff Bressler, our news editor here on the show. He'll be stepping up to the microphone with a live motorsports update, the latest from the motorsports world. That will be happening in hour number two of the program. Also happening in hour number two of the program, he is the editor of TheDetroitBureau.com. Again, one of the nation's leading automotive journalists, Mr. Paul Eisenstein. He had his own website, The Car Connection, for many, many years before selling that off. Right now has a brand new website, TheDetroitBureau.com, still writing for many, many publications worldwide. And we're going to get Paul's take on not only what's happening in the Motor City, but also some of the recent new vehicles that Paul has had the opportunity to drive, because he gets to drive all the cool stuff. Hour number three of the program, heard on many of these Auto World affiliate stations, will be joined by a gentleman with a very unique website called iZoom.com, Larry Edsel. He's recently written a book about the all-new Camaro for model year 2010, and it is a big hit right off the bat here for General Motors, despite its bankruptcy. I was talking a little bit earlier today with a member of the Motor Trend team, and they were telling me that most Camaros are selling for several hundred dollars over list price, and that's a little bit surprising considering the economy and considering the recent bankruptcy announcements by the company. Along the way, of course, we're going to take your telephone calls, and of course, we'll be taking your emails. But we begin by telling you about some of the stories making headlines in the world of automobiles in this past week. And this automotive news report is brought to you by the folks at Stabil. When you store, start with Stabil. It's America's number one fuel stabilizer. For more information, visit www.goldeagle.com. Well, as the automotive journalistic world continues to struggle with the downturn of the automotive economy, more and more magazines are flipping from print editions to web-only editions, and a number of other publications have also fallen into that realm. Just recently, this past week, a number of publications within the family of publications held by Hachette Filippacci have fallen into that realm. Nevertheless, another thing that's very interesting that's happening in the automotive journalistic world is the fact that embargoes are being broken all the time. I mean, years ago, you could wait, and you would wait for your car magazine to come in the mail. And, you know, you'd have to wait. It's simple as that. The car makers would schedule the launch of these vehicles, and they would give what they would call a long lead to specify journalists, knowing that it was going to take 6 weeks or so for the magazine to hit the newsstands. But nowadays, a lot of these long lead stories are heading online immediately. Case in point, the first drive of the Porsche four-door, the Porsche Pan America, which is the first ever from the Porsche brand. This vehicle isn't even scheduled to debut in North America until, I believe, the Los Angeles International Auto Show in November. It is not even supposed to be driven by journalists in the short lead program, at least until September. However, they had the long lead, and I would imagine they expected these long lead folks to kind of hold on to their wraps, but they have not. Maybe they have a new policy. I know Angus McKenzie of Motor Trend Magazine has driven this vehicle, and he is quoted in Motor Trend as saying that the vehicle, despite being a four-door, is indeed a Porsche all the way. If you look at this vehicle stylistically, it looks like a four-door 911, which I have kind of mixed feelings about, to be honest with you. Porsche is, of course, an iconic design in the 911, but nevertheless, I wish, in a way, they would have stepped out of the box a little bit, like we've seen more recently from Aston Martin and Jag in their four-door offerings, the upcoming Rapide super sedan from Aston Martin, and, of course, the XF from Jaguar, just two examples there. But this basically looks like somebody took a 911 and stretched it. An insider told me that one of the reasons why they did this was one of the high-end executives from Porsche is a very tall fellow, somewhere in the vicinity of 6'4", and he wanted to make sure that he could sit in the back seat and not be hampered with a low roof line, so they kind of kept to that regular 911 roof line. Interestingly enough, however, this vehicle is not 911 in engine character. It is a front-engine vehicle. It is a V8-powered vehicle. It can be had with either a manual transmission or Porsche's new dual-clutch automatic, which is called the PDK. This transmission is so quick, it is significantly quicker than its six-speed rival, both in shifts and also in instrumented time testing. The vehicle will be available in multiple different guises. You'll have your regular one. They will also have an all-wheel drive variant, and they will have a turbo variant. So Porsche very much taking a page, no doubt, from what they did a number of years back with the Porsche Cayenne sport utility vehicle. They did a lot of research with their customers, and they found that most Porsche owners had an SUV in their garage. So the bean counters said to themselves, well, if they're going to buy a sport utility, why don't they buy one of ours? So Porsche went out and designed and built the Cayenne. The Porsche purists were all upset, but guess what? The Cayenne was a big hit for the Porsche company, and I expect this very high-priced sedan from Porsche also to be a big hit. As again, no doubt they've done research, and they found that most owners of Porsche vehicles also probably have a luxury sedan in their garage. Maybe they have a BMW. Maybe they have a Mercedes. Maybe they have a Jaguar. Maybe they have an Audi. Well, they, once again, probably said to themselves, why don't we get a chunk of that market? So this is the first of a couple of super sedans that we're going to be seeing in the not-too-distant future from a number of manufacturers, despite the nation's rather dismal economy. We're going to be seeing another super-priced, very beautiful sedan from Aston Martin, as I mentioned a few moments back, called the Rapide. We're also going to be seeing, most likely, although they haven't officially said that they're going to go ahead with the production of this vehicle, the folks at Lamborghini have been teasing the world with a variety of different variants of a super swoopy four-door sedan. I hope they build it. Straight ahead, more of America's Automobile Enthusiast Show. This is Auto World on GCN.
Daddy, what are you pouring in our car?
This is Stabil Fuel Stabilizer. It's good for our old hot rod, so I add it to the tank every time we fill up.
Why?
Well, Stabil prevents something bad called corrosion. It's caused by ethanol in the gas, and it won't let fuel gum up the engine.
But why?
So it'll start up every time and run smoother.
But why, Daddy?
Why? So I can take you for your favorite ice cream.
Yay, hot fudge sundae!
When you store and when you fill up, start with Stabil.
If you love classic cars, what can Hagerty do for you? Offer competitive financing? Yes. Customized insurance? Of course. How about roadside assistance? Sure thing. Maybe tap you into the huge online classic car community? Absolutely. How about calming your wife down when she finds out you just bought that 68 coupe? Sorry, I don't think anyone can do that. A message from Hagerty. Car guys ride with us. 866-922-4050 or Hagerty.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986. Yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and help us win this battle.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-N-O-T-A-X. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
My pappy said, son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln.
Giving your radio a broadcasted tune-up, this is Auto World and your host, Bob Long.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace? That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Our toll-free line from across North America is 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. This is our first week here being produced by the Genesis Communications Network. I want to take this time to thank Matt, who is running the controls. He's the man at the helm. Also want to thank Jared Stulen, the program director at the network, and couldn't be a better guy to work with in the whole world. And I want to thank the president and owner of the network, Ted Anderson, for bringing me and Bill Bailey on board and all of our stations. And we're still on all of our great radio stations, and including all of our NRN stations, and including our mighty Boston station, AM 1060, WBIX, AM 1060. Why don't we throw out a trivia question just to have a little bit of fun here and stir things up? Our man on deck is a noted automotive journalist and a General Motors veteran, so I'm going to throw out a General Motors question for you. I'm looking for the Buick two-seater from the 1980s that was available both in coupe and later in a very limited run of convertibles. What was that coupe? Now long forgotten, the coupe from Buick back in the 1980s. The telephone number is 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231, or via the email bob@autoworldradio.com. Gary Witzenberg is a noted automotive journalist writing for a ton of publications around the nation, and also a veteran of a couple of different stints at General Motors, and also his wife is a retired General Motors employee as well. Had the opportunity to spend some time on air with Gary last week. I had so much fun, I decided we got to bring him back here when we're on a brand new network. What a great way to kick things off. Hello there, Gary.
Well, hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Still battling this nasty cold, but
really?
Other than that, you got any cold advice for me? I'm taking that as well.
I guess I don't. If I mentioned a brand name, I could get in trouble. But usually I can take something right away when I feel the first symptoms and fight it off. But
yep.
Sorry to hear you're still a week later not doing well.
Yeah, well, usually I'm pretty good too, Gary, but I think I got the Uber edition this time around. This is the Bugatti Veyron of colds.
But, I suppose you don't want me to answer your trivia question, because I could in a heartbeat.
Oh, I know you. Absolutely. Absolutely. Before we talk about all the things that are on everybody's mind about GM and bankruptcy and the future of divisions and everything else, and of course, we invite any calls or questions about that. I know that you worked on a project that was very near and dear to your heart, and certainly one of the most important in the history of GM, and that was the EV1. Bring us back to that era, that day, and that time. Tell us all about this project.
Oh, sure, Bob. Yeah, that was very near and dear to my heart, as you put it. There was a lot of passion went into that program from not just me, but the other few hundred people who worked on it. And I guess historically, if people will remember back to 1990, Los Angeles Auto Show, January 1990, General Motors showed a prototype or a concept car, if you will, called Impact. It was all electric, battery powered. It put up some amazing numbers at the time in terms of range and performance. It looked good. It looked kind of like a silver bullet. And it got so much attention and so much positive feedback that the then chairman of General Motors, who was Roger Smith at the time, decided and announced on April, I forget the exact date, but it was Earth Day of 1990, that April, announced that GM would put together a group and do a serious effort to try to put that car into volume production. And so he picked a guy named Ken Baker, who was a very inspirational leader, engineering leader.
Mm-hmm.
About a year later, I came on board as vehicle test and development manager. Ken had been building up the group, and I don't know how much detail to get into because I know our time is limited, but we worked very hard on the thing. GM at the time, in about 92 time frame, was going broke at that time as well, and so they got rid of then chairman Bob Stempel and Lloyd Royce. It was not their fault, but they felt they needed new leadership.
Right.
Brought in a guy named Jack Smith, and Jack Smith was cutting programs and delaying programs just to stay in business, basically. Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
It sure does.
And he said to us, on working on the program at the time, that December, he got us all together and said, I'm so sorry. This is the toughest decision I've had to make, but we're going to delay your program. And people, the word was delay, but what most people heard was cancel. They thought we were dead. And that wasn't true. There were about 400 people on the program at the time. About 300 got reassigned. a core group of 100, including myself, stayed with it, and we kept working on it. We did a preview drive at the time where we built 50 kind of prototype-level cars and put them out in various cities around the country, let people drive them for 3 months at a time, got a lot of feedback, a lot of technical knowledge. And then eventually the program got revived once GM was in better financial shape again, and a guy named Bob Purcell was sent out by Jack Smith personally to revive the program. And this is important, so I'm going to emphasize it. His mission was to make a business of it. And what that meant was don't just sell a few at a loss, but really make it pay off
right.
to General Motors.
Profitable.
And the way to make it pay off was not low volumes of very expensive technology cars, which those were, selling to consumers. But the way to really make it pay off is really the same plan that Toyota has had for their Synergy Drive hybrids, which is to lead the industry in that technology and then sell it to other automakers as well. That was the plan, because it cost, well, GM invested $1 billion-plus in this thing over the several years that we worked on it.
Wow.
And not many automakers then or now were either willing or able to put that kind of investment on the table in something that really nobody knew if it was going to pay off. So if you were another automaker, and at the time, I forgot to mention, after Roger Smith said GM's going to go to production with this car, that September, I believe it was, of that same year, 1990, California Air Resources Board decided they would force everybody to do it. So that became the famous California mandate for volumes of electric vehicles. Now, we don't know if the technology will work. We don't know if the battery will get done that will make it viable and make it acceptable to consumers. But we don't care. We're going to make everybody, or I shouldn't say everybody, the top seven selling automakers in California had mandated volumes to try to make. And that's the last thing you want if you're General Motors, to have your top six competitors mandated into going to market competing against you at exactly the same time.
Absolutely. Not a good thing.
Right. So anyway, we got it done. We put it out there in 1997, built about 500 of them that year with lead-acid batteries. Range was 50, 60, 70 miles, depending on weather and terrain and how you drove it. And about 400 of those got leased. I hear some music, so you have to break?
Yeah, we'll take a quick break. When we come back on the other side, more of the story of the GM EV1. This is Auto World. Don't go away.
10 miles east of the highway, hot sparks burning the night away, two lips touching together.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from pepperspray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe. Trust Pepper Spray instead of your luck. Pepperspray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. Pepperspray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. Pepperspray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon box and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to pepperspray.com. That's pepperspray.com. Or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
You've probably heard about the incredible, powerful, and natural antioxidants found in red wine. Unfortunately, not everyone is able to drink a glass of wine each day. Now, you don't have to drink even a single drop. Thanks to NuRev. NuRev is America's number one anti-aging supplement, thanks to its active ingredient, resveratrol. Resveratrol is the main nutrient found in red wine and has been proven to help slow down the aging process, help you lose weight, override an unhealthy lifestyle, boost your energy level, and so much more. NuRev has been the subject of some of the most exciting anti-aging research in decades and has only recently become available in purified form. Now, you can discover the amazing health benefits of NuRev for free. Just pay to have NuRev shipped to you. Get your free sample now at NuRevOnline.com. That's NUREVonline.com. NUREVonline.com. Improve your life today.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. June 26, 2009. Gold opened this morning at $948.40. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $975.53, $487.76 for a half ounce, or $243.88 for a quarter ounce. That's $975.53, $487.76, and $243.88.
How is it that we, the people, grow the cotton, weave it into fabric, engrave the ink, embed the strips and fibers that protect it from counterfeit, then cart the money off to a privately owned bank to have it lent back to us at interest, forcing us to pay taxes to service the debt? Is this capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when he said, a central bank issuing a public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar inside of a book that explains how the monetary system works. Call for your copy, 1-800-686-2237. Isn't it time to understand the system? Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
If you've always wanted to experience the amazing benefits from using oil of oregano, the time to act is now. With so many places to choose from, where can you be 100% certain you're getting the highest quality oil for your dollar? The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com brings you ultra-pure, non-diluted oil of oregano with 80% or better carvacrol. PureBulk.com also carries over 120 nutritional products, including atomic iodine, amino acids, herbal extracts, and heart health, all made with no fillers, additives, or fancy packaging, saving you 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. With each order, PureBulk.com will send you 1 dram of atomic iodine, a 150-day supply, absolutely free. Just enter promotional code IODINE at website checkout. Visit PureBulk.com, that's PureBulk.com, or call 406-251-3270, 406-251-3270 today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Broadcasting from the middle of Corvette Boulevard and Stingray Avenue, this is Auto World with your host, Bob Long.
I guess I should know, but I way you parked your car sideways.
We thank you so much for joining us here today on Auto World. Our new toll-free number, you got to get used to it, is 800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. If you want to solve the riddle here about the Buick from the 80s, the two-seater Buick, it was available both in coupe and convertible forms. I know somebody listening out there in Iowa on KXEL knows the answer to that one. Or in Boston on AM 1060 WBIX. Give us a call right now, 800-259-9231, and we'll have a special prize waiting for you. Gary Witzenberg, speaking of General Motors, is with us. He's a gentleman who is a noted automotive journalist and who has spent time on both sides of the fence, so to speak. He's been a journalist, and he's been an engineer with GM, and he's been a communications person with GM, and he's had a long and distinguished career in the automotive history and in business, and he's been telling us the history of the EV1 vehicle, which was the General Motors electric car. And interesting that you pointed out there, especially for some of our younger listeners, that even going back to the early 1990s, that GM at that time was in financial trouble then.
Yeah, it was, Bob, and I don't know that that was the first time. It was the most serious trouble it had been in, I guess, since the very early days and up until the last few years, when things have gotten very tough for everybody in the industry, but some could weather it better than others. But anyway, let me give you EV1 Chapter 2 real quickly, and then I'm sure you want to open it up to questions. The second version of EV1, if you will, same car, but new technology and a new battery that we were, it was very early technology at the time for nickel metal hydride batteries. That's what Toyotas and virtually all hybrids use today. But it was very early, very young and not entirely problem-free at the time. Back in 1999, we offered that as an option, and that would virtually double the range. If you could get 70 on a nice warm day at a flat surface, not driving too aggressively with lead acid, you could double that pretty much with nickel. It was much more expensive. That was the downside, and that's usually the way it works. Again, about 500 were built, and I've given you round numbers. Only about 400 were leased. GM chose to lease these vehicles, not sell them, for a number of reasons, primarily because the technology was so new. Battery was, 300-plus volts. They didn't want people owning these forever. They didn't know that they could provide parts and service support forever, as state laws tend to require. And so it was a three-year lease deal, and the plan was to bring them back after the 3 years were up, update them to whatever was the new technology then, because the technology goes so fast, as you know, like computers and everything else.
Sure.
And then release them. That was the original plan. What happened was the roughly 800 or so people who did have them, both the 97 Gen 1 and the 99 Gen 2, and they fell in love with them, and they were not happy at all when the lease was up, and GM said, hey, we need those cars back. And there's in fact, anybody who's been on chat web rooms or whatever, they created a lot of bad feelings because they really felt they had to collect those cars, and people were very mad about it. They wanted to keep them. But if you're not in this kind of business, you don't understand the liability risk, the parts and service challenge, and also there was very, let's say, proprietary technology that you wouldn't want to leave them out there that would have your competitors then maybe steal your control technology and various other things. So good business reasons, but a terrible PR move that they brought these cars back and eventually destroyed almost all of them. Now, jump from there, that experience proved basically that it was a small two-seater, not very practical. It was very expensive to the manufacturer, less so to the buyer because it was subsidized, or the leaser, less so,
right.
I should say.
Yeah.
I think it ran $300 a month and maybe $400 a month with the lead-acid batteries the second year. So it was heavily subsidized, and there just wasn't much of a market for it. Not too many people wanted an expensive two-seater with very limited range at the time. Might be different today. Who knows? But so they jumped from there. And while we were there, I should point out, while I was working there during the whole time, it was about 9 years of my life I worked on this program, we did a lot of hybrid work as well, looking into pretty much what Toyota and others have out, Ford and others have out today. And the decision was made that it was not a good business case. The cost was too high relative to the fuel economy benefit. Rightly or wrongly, that decision was made. That's what the numbers showed. And General Motors then made a decision to go and jump and invest their research big bucks into hydrogen fuel cells, which would have the potential to take the automobile completely out of the emissions discussion, because nothing comes out of that tailpipe except water vapor.
Right.
So they kind of skipped the hybrid at first. Toyota, at the same time, said, we don't care what it costs. We don't care how much we have to subsidize them. We're going to do this. And they did it. And everybody knows that story has been very successful for them. They came out with the first Prius and then a Gen 2. Lots of other hybrids in their line right now. Gen 3 Prius has just come out. They've done a great job. I contend that the business case decision was correct in that Toyota still is subsidizing that program, those cars. They still cost more than people are willing to pay for them. But the fact is, it was a brilliant PR move.
Yeah.
And GM then went back and said, you know what, we should have done that. We missed the boat. And that kind of brings us up to date with the Volt.
Yeah, I'm really curious to get your thoughts about the Volt.
Well, let me say this from a personal standpoint, from my experience. When I left that program, I was pretty soured on electric vehicles as ever being practical in volume at a reasonable cost. Batteries too expensive. Didn't get much range out of them. When you did run out of range, it took hours to recharge them. How are you ever going to compete with a tank of gas? And so I didn't think, unless a magic battery came along that was cheap and held 300 miles worth of energy and you could refill it in 15 minutes, which so far is not even close, it wasn't going to work. When I first learned about the Volt 2.5 years ago and that powertrain system that's in there, which they call it's a series hybrid, which means The electric motor powers the wheels at all times. The gas engine never does. The gas engine only powers a generator, which provides electricity to the battery. They call it a range extender hybrid. And I think most of your listeners are probably familiar with that, but that means you can go with the limited battery energy that's on board. You can go, the prediction is about 40 miles. And if you drive less than that in a given day, every day, you never start the engine. You haven't burned a drop of fuel.
Yeah.
If you can get there and back within that 40 miles.
If you have that kind of commute every day, you're not going to burn any gas.
Or if you're lucky enough to be able to recharge at work or whatever, as long as you can recharge out of the wall, that energy comes from somewhere, but that's another discussion. You haven't burned any liquid fuel. Now, the big difference is when you ran out of juice in a pure electric, a battery electric, you're stuck. You just can't go walk and get a can of volts and bring it back like you can a can of gas.
Yep.
And this is not good, and that created a thing called range anxiety. Somebody invented that term, and it's very appropriate. That means even if I only need that 40 miles every day, or with the EV1, it might be, as I said, 50, 60, 70, or whatever. Even if you know you don't need more than that, you never know, someday you might. Because you have to go across town to pick up your kid in an emergency or something
sure.
like that.
Sure, yeah.
And you're just not going to have it. And the one day you need it, it's not there. And that was a tremendous disincentive for people to buy a battery electric. With the range extender, that disincentive goes away. You're never going to get stuck because as soon as you need the electricity, the little, very highly fuel-efficient engine starts up and provides it.
Amazing. We're going to talk more about the Volt with Gary Witzenberg straight ahead right here on Auto World.
For quality automotive accessories, count on California Car Cover Company. California Car Cover Company offers the world's largest selection of quality car covers for any vehicle built since 1900. With unique one-of-a-kind gift ideas, detailing products, truck and SUV performance products, clothing, and memorabilia, California Car Cover Company has it all. Call today 1-800-423-5525 for a free catalog or visit calcarcover.com.
Is your budget being blown away by high gas prices? The revolutionary Tornado Air device harnesses the power of the wind so that your vehicle will go further on a tank of gas. Tornado creates a swirling effect in the engine's combustion chamber that results in a better mix of air and fuel so that you'll have more power and more mileage. Tornado fits most cars, comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and is easy to install. Visit TornadoAir.com or go to your local Pep Boys, AutoZone, Napa, Checker, Shucks, and Kragen, or other fine stores to buy your gas-saving Tornado today.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or 2 Sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Do you have more than $15,000 in credit card debt? Before you spend another dollar on minimum payments, call American Debt Specialists right now and find out how much of your debt can be eliminated. That's right, eliminated. Call 800-237-7042. While the government is bailing out the credit card companies, we're here to make sure you get help too. Just one call could reduce your credit card debt by as much as 60%. 60%! We'll bring you peace of mind with reduced debt and just one low monthly payment that fits your budget. It's simple, legal, and we'll get the job done for you fast.
It was amazing. They helped me consolidate all my credit card debt into one low monthly payment.
Now, we don't have to file for bankruptcy.
Managing one payment is giving me my life back.
For a free debt evaluation and to learn how you can save thousands right now, call 800-237-7660. That's 1-800-237-7660. 800-237-7660.
Economy have you down?
Scared you might lose your job?
Worried how you will provide for your family?
Do you worry where your money will come from? You know that the economy is getting worse,
but there is hope.
Robert Beadle's new book, Here's What You Do, tells you what to do and how to do it. Even a 10-year-old can figure it out after reading this 72-page book. And the best part? This book is priced under $10. Don't be the victim. Be a victor. Go to hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. Again, hereswhatyoudo.net.
Wondering about your retirement portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
And now, back to the show with the highest octane, Auto World, and your host, Bob Long.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you very much for joining us here on Auto World. My name is Bob Long, a little bit under the weather today, still battling the lingering flu. Our telephone number is toll-free. It's 800-259-9231. Gary Witzenberg has been telling us the remarkable story of the General Motors EV1 vehicle, and also we're starting to talk a little bit more about the upcoming Chevrolet Volt, but got a trivia question out there, and we have a caller on the line who may have an answer for that trivia question, or maybe she's got a question for Gary. Let's talk to Phyllis, listening in Iowa on KXEL. Phyllis, thanks for calling in. How are you today?
Fine, thank you. I'm so happy to have this opportunity. For many years, I have touted electric cars, and I envision when you can drive 20, 30 miles, probably at the most, to your place of employment, that they would have parking lots with meters in them, that you put in 50 cents, a dollar, whatever it would take. When you come back out after working, your car would be recharged. And I stand on the premise, if we can send men to the moon, we could have, should have developed a battery that would accommodate vehicles. There'd be no emission. We'd solve our pollution problems, especially in the big cities. I feel it's been a bunch of politics. In fact, I have in hand right now, knowing I was going to speak with you, you're no doubt aware of the video that was put out in 2006, Who Killed the Electric Car. And it did point out what you were saying about General Motors leasing these cars out, and everybody who leased them wanted them, but they were not for sale. But it showed them taking them to the junkyards and compressing them, destroying them.
Yep. Well, it's one of those things, as Gary was explaining, there were too many worries about lawsuits and stuff. But, Gary, want to say hi to Phyllis there and talk a little bit about what she's bringing up here?
Sure, Phyllis. Glad to talk to a true believer. And which I was once, and I may be again.
Uh-huh.
But let me point out a couple of things. First of all, be very careful with documentaries that have an agenda. There's an awful lot of inaccuracy and there's a lot of bias in that particular one you're talking about.
Well, this was put out by the public broadcasting system in Iowa City.
It was shown by them. It was not produced
yes.
by them.
Yes, uh-huh, right.
So,
uh-huh.
You know, be it Michael Moore or somebody else, just be careful about documentaries. That's all I want to
yes,
say about that.
Sure.
It was totally unfair and misrepresented the General Motors position throughout.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, your vision is much like ours was when we were working on it, that there would be widely available public recharging almost everywhere you went.
Right, right.
And why didn't that happen? And you want to say, well, it's political. No, so far no one has come up with the battery that makes it competitive with a tank of gas. There's no, you know, much as we don't like it, there's no better way to carry a whole lot of energy around in a vehicle than a tank of gas or a tank of diesel fuel. It's cost per volume, it's energy per volume, et cetera. Nothing yet has been able to compete with it. However, you're probably aware there is now another battery technology that's being worked on very hard right now. And believe me, it's not that battery companies around the world haven't wanted to, haven't tried to come up with something that would, because they would be very, very wealthy today if they had been able to do it. But the one that is looking very promising right now is lithium ion. I'm sure you've heard about that. That's what will make the Volt work, because it with a 400-pound battery instead of a 1,200-pound battery that we had in the EV1, mm-hmm. you can get about equivalent energy. And then again, as I said, you have the small engine that starts and runs when you don't need it, or when you do need it, when you need more electricity. But one thing you got to, well, two things you should consider. Batteries are very, very expensive. Lithium ion is more expensive than nickel, which is substantially more expensive than lead acid. So you kind of get what you pay for. And they have limited life, and there's other issues. Lithium ion has some heat issues and overcharging and undercharging issues and things like that, but it looks like it's going to work. But if you were to put enough lithium ion battery in a vehicle to be independent of a range extender engine or fuel cell or anything else, A, it's going to cost an awful lot of money. Most people either couldn't afford it or would not want to pay that much for it. B, it's got a limited life, will have to be replaced one day. And C, it's big and heavy. You got to package it somewhere where you can still seat people and have some luggage room in the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a D I should mention, too. The more energy you have in that battery, the more capacity, the bigger your gas tank, if you will, if you want to compare a battery to a tank of gas.
Oh, my.
The longer it's going to take to refill it. So if you have, you know, it took us, with 220 volts, with the original lead-acid battery, it would take 2 to 3 hours with 220-volt chargers that people had in their garages, and 10, 12 hours on 110, on house current, just to refill that 1,200-pound lead-acid battery that held the energy equivalent, and listen to me when I say this, Phyllis, that 1,200-pound battery held the energy equivalent of half a gallon of gas. Now, with nickel metal hydride, now you double that, it's about a gallon of gas, but you've also doubled the time it takes to refill it. Twice as much energy takes twice as much time to put it back in.
Mm-hmm.
Lithium ion can quadruple lead acid, it'll also quadruple the charge time. Mm-hmm. That's a real Achilles heel beyond size, weight, cost. I'm not saying it can't be done or it's impossible, but there's a lot of considerations that make it a lot harder than you think.
And I've felt even before all of the government buying out the companies before all this occurred, I thought, why doesn't the government subsidize the development of these batteries?
Oh, they have. We signed in 1991 when I was part of the program. I was vehicle test and development manager. I stood on the lawn of the Rose Garden of the White House, and where we signed a battery research and development agreement, where the federal government would subsidize exactly what you're talking about.
I've always felt that the oil companies have bought out Detroit and
no,
and
not
the,
you're talking conspiracy theories and none of
yes,
that is true.
Well, we have so much of it going on. You get a little.
Well, you bring up some good points, Phyllis. But the good news is, the technology is moving along, and pretty soon you're going to be able to buy one of these cars. So I hope you'll be able to buy one of those cars really soon.
Well, my oldest son, just the other day, I was voicing that I've been hearing more about developing them. And I said, I hope it happens, because I'm 82 now. And I said, I hope it happens in my lifetime.
Well,
and he said, I do too, Mom, so you'll shut up.
Oh, great. Well, I think it's going to. So
within a couple of years, Phyllis, you'll be able to buy a pure electric that still will have limited range, and it will be expensive, and you will take a long time to replenish it.
I wouldn't
or
have
you'll
the
be able to buy a range extender that does away with that. But those won't be cheap either. That, there's a lot of cost in that technology. But everyone is working on it so hard right now. Everyone is trying so hard. And the oil companies are not worried a bit because there's plenty, there's going to be lots of business for them to go around. They don't see it as competition that they have to worry about, really.
But it's coming down the road, Phyllis, so start playing the lottery. Start saving up for it. I think, what's the release year for the Volt, Gary, 2012?
No. It's supposed to be in production and available about a year and a half from now, by the end of next year.
So not that far off, Phyllis. So look for it, and thank you very much for listening and calling in here to Auto World.
I don't quite understand all the technology, but you make me feel a little better about it.
All right.
Good.
Well,
I hope so.
Thank you very much for calling in. So, Gary, what do you think? I mean, put your prognosticator cap on here for a moment. I mean, there's no doubt the Volt is going to be an expensive car. They're talking $40,000, but they also are talking, rebates and all that kind of stuff. Do you think it's going to be a hit? Do you think it's going to be well received?
I think it will. I really do. I was skeptical at first, but I know some of the same people that I worked with on EV1 are working on that program. The guy who was a very brilliant, hardworking young engineer who was in charge of the propulsion system at the time is now the chief engineer of the whole vehicle. And I think it will. There's still a lot of technological hurdles to be dealt with. But they haven't backed off on this deadline at all, and they've been very, very open and transparent and public about their progress, letting the media in every few months. This is very different from EV1, where we were completely secretive until we were ready to release the thing.
So true.
They are confident, and they haven't backed off despite financial troubles, and I think it will happen, and that's just the beginning.
Excellent. Gary, thanks so much for your time here today. We'll do it again real soon.
Thank you, Bob. Anytime. It's always fun.
That will do it for this hour of Auto World. My name is Bob Lung.
Seems I always end up driving by.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson introducing a new way to listen to GCN on your cell phone. If you own a smartphone like BlackBerry, iPhone, or Arnold G1, there's a free application called Flycast. Simply download, install, and within minutes, you'll be listening to your favorite GCN shows from the convenience of your phone. Go to GCNlive.com, download the Flycast application, and begin listening in a whole new way. The place to go to is GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com, application Flycast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.